Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine. I know that you guys all know that I'm stuck on flow. Is that right? You know that I'm stuck on flow. Is that right? God spoke to me a while back and He said, Henry, my kingdom is not in force. My kingdom's not force. It's in flow. And I really didn't realize how much what He was getting ready to do in my spirit, but everything that I look at now, it's about flowing, about what God is saying, what He's doing, how to do it, how connected we stay with the Father, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so I know some of you might be tired of it already. Oh, it's about flow. Hey, we're going to church this weekend, and probably pastor's going to be talking about flow. Yeah, but it's okay. Amen? Come on, man. Hallelujah. Yeah, I guess it's not. Amen? It's okay. Is that okay? Is it okay if I talk about flow a little bit? Hallelujah. If you look at your bulletin, title of today's sermon is, you need to know it's about flow. Look at your neighbor and say that to them. You need to know it's about flow. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God, and the kingdom of His dear Son, Jesus, it's about flow coming, about the flow of the kingdom coming into the earthly realm. Is that okay? Is that okay if I tell you that? So I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to, it's going to be Acts chapter 2, and I know it sounds like we've done this before, but Acts chapter 2. Glory to God. Glory to God. Man, the presence of God is good. Lord is good. Lord, thank you for what you're doing, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for meeting with us, rising up within us, Lord, and making yourself very evident this morning, Father. Thank you. I'm just going to read a couple of verses here out of Acts chapter 2, and it says in Acts 2 verse 16 and 17, Peter was speaking here, and what he said was, verse 16 says, "This is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids," I'm going to go to 18 because I'm really liking it. Is that okay? Yeah. "And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they will prophesy." Verse 19 says, "And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke." Verse 20, "The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This was Peter. Peter was speaking here, and he was quoting the prophet Joel, and he was saying, "Hey man, in the last days, this is what's going to happen. This is how it's going to be." And I like that because, you know, I've heard people say, "Well, you know what? Women aren't supposed to preach in the church." How many have heard that before? Anybody heard that? Nobody's ever heard that. Yeah, and I'm going to tell you something. Joel says here that your sons and your daughters shall what? Prophesy. You know, that's preaching. Come on, man. And so, and it's really, can I just tell you, it's really what, when you really think about it, it is who's within them. Is that right? It's not them anymore. It's Christ in them. So it makes every one of you a candidate for a preacher. Amen? Come on, man. Hallelujah. But Peter is speaking here. And I like what he says. He says, "Your young men shall see visions." How many young men in here see visions? Raise your hand. Raise them up. Raise them high. Raise them proud. Young men. How many old guys see dreams? Amen. Come on. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to talk to you a little bit about vision, because I want to share with you the vision for the church. I think it's very important that you understand the vision that we're under here at Sarita House of Worship. What do you think? Do you think it's important that you know what kind of vision you guys are operating in, or when you come into the house, you say, well, what is this? What's going on? Why is the pastor doing it? Because I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, there must be umpteen churches in Green Valley. I mean that. And in Sarita. And all the way up Helmet Peak Road. There's churches all over. Why do we need another church? Why, God? Didn't answer me. He just said, hey, I called you to be a pastor. I said, okay. All right. Well, I want to take you to, let's go to Acts chapter 10. I want to read this because I really feel this is important. I really think we need to realize the connection of what we believe God is saying and what we say with our mouth. There is such a connection in it. Peter was quoting Joel, that men shall see visions and dream dreams. And here in Acts chapter 10, starting at verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devoted man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, and he prayed to God always. And he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. Isn't that nice to hear? Isn't that nice to know that God's hearing your prayers? Isn't that nice? He says, and now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose name is Peter. He lodges with one Simon of Tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou ought to do. You know, can I tell you that God knows your address? Do you know that? Do you know he knows where you live? Do you know that if he needs to get a hold of you, he can get somebody to get to your house? Is that right? To get a hold of you? Is that right? Come on, say, Lord, get a hold of me. Oh, come on, Lord, get me. Lord, speak to me. Hallelujah. You know my address, Lord. Hallelujah. Come. Hallelujah. I like that. I like that idea. He tells them all about it. This is where he is, where you're going to find him. Then he says this. And when the angel which spoke to Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. And on the morning, as they went on their journey and drew near to the city, Peter went up in the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance, or he saw a vision. And he saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit in the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spoke to him again a second time, what God has cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men that were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry in Simon's house and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. And while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Who said to him? The Spirit said to him. Isn't that right? Nobody ran up on the roof and said, hey, three guys are looking for you. The Spirit of God told Peter, look, there's three guys looking for you. Arise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom thou seek. What is the cause whereof you are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man and one that fears God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into this house and to hear words of thee. Then he called them in and lodged them. And on the morning, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morning after they entered Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and his near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. I like what Peter does. And Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said to them, "You know how it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean." Did Peter learn a lesson from that vision? He did. God was showing him something. Can I tell you, the Word of God is preparing you, if you will. Because I'm going to tell you, every one of you in this house, God wants to open a vision to you. Can I say that to you? He wants to show you things that you've never seen before. He wants to position you in a place you've never been before. And a lot of times what's going to take might be a vision. It might be something that God wants to show you. Look at, this is who you are. Isn't that cool? Hallelujah. And he said to them, "You know how that is an..." Oh, I just read that. It's verse 29 said, "And he came, therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I asked therefore, for what intent have you sent for me?" Cornelius said, "4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing." Cornelius was fasting and praying. Amen?
Amen.
And he said, "Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. Thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter, and he is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto you. Immediately therefore I sent to you, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear the things that are commanded thee of God." Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and works righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How that God had anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." Is that right? Oh yeah, Jesus was famous, amen? I mean, he drew crowds. And he was healing all that were oppressed. I like what Pastor John said this morning, something that really caught my ear. How many know that God gives us ear to hear? Is that right? And Pastor John was talking about how Jesus was not sick. How many places in the Word of God do you see that Jesus had any kind of illness? Amen? Come on, man. Never did. Until he went to the cross. Until he was whipped. The Word of God says that by his stripes we've been healed. All of those whippings and all those things were for our healing. Amen? Come on, man. Hallelujah. "We are witnesses of all these things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree." Peter says, "Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Not to all the people." Listen to this. "Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God." Can I tell you? God knows what's going on. He chooses. Do you know that you were chosen before the foundation of the Lord? Do you know that? Are you confident of that? Do you know that God has your life planned? Is that okay?
Come on.
Come on, man. He says, "Not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believes in him shall receive remissions of sins." And while Peter yet spake these words, we got to really stop here and just listen, enjoy this part, because I enjoy the Word of God. How many enjoy the Word of God? How many like when God is saying something? Can I tell you that the Holy Spirit is so important to the body of Christ today? And he says that while Peter was yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. God is not a respecter of persons. Amen. He loves everyone. Hallelujah. And to anyone that will believe him, to as many as believed him, to them gave he power, the Holy Ghost, to become a son or daughter of God. Isn't that cool? Hallelujah. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they to him to stay certain days. Praise God. I love the story. Amen. Isn't that a good story? That's good. I mean, when Cornelius was praying and God said, look, I want you to go find Peter. Can I tell you something that God can actually speak to somebody and say, hey, you know, I need you to, I want you to go speak to this person. Go find this guy. Rosie and I were in what's it called, Ben? Rigoberto's. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you know. Sorry. Thanks for the help. Yeah. We're in Rigoberto's and we're standing and we're talking to some folks that some brothers and sisters that were in there. And while we're talking to him, this brother walks in and he kind of said, are you a pastor? I said, yes, sir, I am. And he says, God wants me to talk to you. I go, what? So talked with him for a little bit and prayed with him and just enjoyed, I mean, just talking to him. I got his phone number and I called him the other day, had a long talk with him, a real good talk with him. But it's funny because the Word of God does say that because we are possessors of these things, God will send somebody to you. Is that right? That's why it's so important that you prime the pump in the morning. Is that right, Pastor Pat? Prime the pump. Amen. Hallelujah. Get ready. Get ready. Come on. Oh, man. Sometimes we just don't realize what God has placed within us. We've got so much of the Word that He can send somebody to you, and that Word will come floating out of it. Is that right? Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you today about my vision. Yeah, this was Peter's vision. I want to talk to you about the vision that God has given me. And I was a youth pastor at First Assembly up the road, and pastor was sending me to Pastor Eli. Do you remember the leadership conferences, the youth pastor and leadership conferences? I was going to these conferences, and it was probably happening once or twice a year. And pastor was smart enough to say, that boy needs help. I'm going to send you. So he would send me up there, and me and Rosie would go up there. Every time while we were up there, it got to get a little bit under my skin, if you know what I mean, because some of the leaders that were teaching there, they kept saying, without a vision, people perish. You need a vision. And I would say, okay, I need a vision. Okay. And then I go home and I say, Lord, I need a vision. God, give me a vision. And then another 6 months go by and we go back up there and almost the same thing. It just seemed to keep happening. Can I tell you that if God's trying to do something, he'll keep knocking. Is that right? That's the way God is. And I kept hearing that. So I'm out of vision. I'm going to put up this verse. Proverbs chapter 29:18 is what it is. This is what, is it, without, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. Well, just one particular time we went up there and they said the same thing. And this time they put us in these circles and five guys in a circle. And they'd come by and they'd say, okay, I want to know what your vision is. I go, ugh. You know, they would ask everybody have these great visions, I guess, of what they wanted to do. But me, I had nothing. I had nothing. That's Pat again. Is that right, Pat? I had nothing. And when they asked me, what do you got? I go, well, I just want to see the kids in my high school saved. And that's a good vision. Is that right?
Yeah.
Problem was, it was everybody's vision. Yeah, I mean, you know what I mean? It wasn't really something that came from deep within me. And I knew it. And I come back, and I was troubled. And as I was at, went back to work up at the mine where I was working, I was working, and I was... I was a maintenance guy working on air compressors and stuff. So these rooms are really loud. You can scream like crazy and nobody will hear you. It was pretty cool. So I used to preach in there. Man, that was my place to preach. And that was my practice room. Amen. You remember those, huh, Pastor John? They're loud rooms, man. And so I get out, I get in there and I said, Lord, I'm teaching young people, and your word says if the blind lead the blind, they'll all fall in the ditch. Your word also says that if without a vision, or where there's no vision, the people perish. And I'm saying, Lord, so I need you to talk to me. I need a vision. I really do. I need a vision, God. Give me a vision. So my whole thing for the next month and a half or whatever, I'm asking God for a vision. God, you got to give me a vision. You got to give me a vision. And every time I got in there, man, I'd weep and I'd cry. I said, well, you know what? I'm going to fast. So I started fasting. And I started calling out to God. I said, God, you got to give me a vision. I need a vision. And then finally, I got bold. I said, okay, that's it, God. I'm fasting. I'm waiting on God. Nothing. Hearing nothing from God. Anybody ever been that way? Has anybody ever, you ever been that way where you call on God, you're calling God, and it seems like, man, God, are you hearing me? And I'm like, God, what's going on? God, how come you're not answering me on this? I'm just asking for something. You're not, what are you, you said that you will call upon you and you will answer. Where's the answer? Nothing. I wasn't getting anything. So I finally got bold and I said, okay, God, this is it. That's it. If you don't give me something by Sunday, because Sunday is the next youth group, you don't give me something by Sunday, I'm going to walk in. I'm going to tell Pastor I will not teach the kids. And my reason is because I've got no vision. Because I have no vision. Crying, I'm weeping, telling God, you got to give this to me. Well, what he said to me right after I said that, he said, read the rest of the verse. I felt the Holy Spirit say, read the rest of the verse. And I looked at it and I read the rest of the verse. It says, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. And when I read that, I said, well, nobody can keep the law. Only Jesus kept the law. And when I said only Jesus kept the law, all these scriptures about who Jesus was began to hit my heart. And man, but you know, the righteousness that we have been given, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, all these things began to hit my heart. And I said, I got all fired up. I'm all happy, dancing around. I said, God gave me a vision. It's Jesus. So I went to go tell my pastor. I said, hey, Pastor, God gave me a vision. He said, yeah, what's that? I said, Jesus. He kind of looked at me because, man, okay. All right, nice, Henry, very nice. And I started thinking about it. I said, yeah, that's kind of weird. Okay. So anyway, I was happy. Amen. I mean, you know what I mean? I was happy because God did speak to me. He said, read the rest of the verse. And I said, that's okay. The next week, I'm in there just minding my own business, changing the oil on this machine, putting a filter on, man, just humming, singing. I'm happy. God gave me a vision. And this machine room, I will tell you, it had lots of piping on the wall. It had air lines, water lines, oil lines, electrical conduit, all these different kinds of things on the wall. And I'm standing there, I'm working on this machine, and I'm humming and singing, and all of a sudden I look up, and that whole wall was blank. It was like somebody had just sheetrocked. There was even a fan in the middle of that wall, and it wasn't there. It was like somebody had just sheetrocked that wall. And I'm looking and go, what in the world is this? And what God began to do at that moment, he began to give me a vision, which I did. I mean, I just, right at the beginning of it, I had no idea what was going on. All of a sudden, at the top of this blank wall, there appears what looked like a lake. And it had water in it. And I could actually see water moving. And I'm kind of looking, I go, what? And I tell you, this room is loud. And I'm looking, I go, what? And all of a sudden I see this, what looked like, the best way I could explain it is like a stick of celery. You know how a half pipe? It looked like a stick of, I mean, not a stick of, it didn't look like celery at all, but it looked like, that's the way that pipe, it was this trough that came down. And there was a little man standing at the end of that trough, and he had his back to that trough. And right about in between his shoulder blades is where that trough was hitting him. And in front, he was standing in front of a road, and just like right, just you would say right here. And on this side, what looked like a field, it was a field, and another one on this side was a field. And I'm looking at this, and I'm going, okay, what are you saying to me? And what I didn't know, do you know that God prepares you with His Word? Can I tell you that? God always prepares you with His Word. And I'll tell you that this is not just a book. The Bible is not just a book. This, the Word of God is inspired by God. Men of God, the Bible says they were inspired to write what they wrote. And I would even imagine some of them didn't even realize what they might have been saying. I think that maybe Paul did not realize some of the things he was saying when he penned them. That's just the way I feel. Because when I would read the scriptures, I love the book of Isaiah. How many like the book of Isaiah? And in the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 3, I would run across this scripture right here. And it said, "Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, Go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Shear-Jashub, thy son." Go meet him. Go meet Ahab, is what he's saying. And then he says, "At the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field." And the very next verse says, "And say," and it starts with "and say." And when I would read that for years, there would come a warmth into my heart. I'd read it, and I'd man, what, God, what are you saying? And I'd read all around it. I'd read the whole story afterward. Could never figure out what God was saying to me. I just couldn't. Another year go by, because at that time I was trying to read the Bible in a year. How many of you do that? Anybody do that? Read the Bible through in 1 year, then start again. January 1st is a Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Is that right? None of you do that? Okay, cool, man. Some of you do. I mean, I love the Word of God, and sometimes it's difficult to get through. But start reading the Word of God again through the year, and I'd get to that verse, and it was just, I mean, something about this verse. One day, one evening, I even wept. I said, "God, what are you saying to me here?" I'd read on a little bit past it, and then I could feel that feeling going away. So I'd go back and I'd read, and it'd come right back. I didn't realize God was preparing my heart with the Word. And see, God likes to do that with us. His Word really does do what He wants it to do in your life. Do you realize that? Hallelujah. So here I'm standing in front of this machine, and I'm looking at this verse. I see a pool. Go and stand at the end of the conduit at the upper pool. There's a pool. There's a conduit. There's a man standing there. There's a road, and there's two fields. The Bible calls it the fuller's field. How, you know, anybody know what a fuller is? Somebody that washes, that cleanses. The Fuller Brush Man. Do you guys ever remember the Fuller Brush Man? I mean, when we were in Bisbee, there was a guy who used to go by our house, and he was trying to sell us brushes. My mom would buy them and stuff, and it was called the Fuller. But that word Fuller means somebody that cleans, somebody that washes. And these fields are washing fields, if you will. But I'm watching this. All of a sudden, I see that water move, and it splashes out, and it runs down that conduit, and it goes into that man, and it starts circulating on the inside of him. I can actually see this. I'm looking at, what's going on? I'm standing there with my rag in one hand and a wrench in the other. I'm looking, what is happening here? Somewhere in there, I realized it was that scripture that he had been saying. That water rolled around within him, and then all of a sudden he opened his mouth, and it started spraying like a sprinkler system on both those fields. He was watering the fields, and while he was watering, I could see those fields. Things started growing, popping up and growing, and I'm going, whoa, what's this? What's this? And I realized God was showing me a vision.
Amen.
Took a while. You know, I'm going, what's going on? I'm holding my rag. What the Lord? And I started to weep because it affected me deeply. I tell you what, when you see a vision from God, God's going to, I mean, it's going to affect you. There's something deep within you that pulls on it and cries. It pulls really hard. And I begin to weep. And then I heard the Lord speak. I'd been asking for a vision. a real vision, and this is what he gave me. And then I heard the Lord speak. It was 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is what he said. This is what the Lord said to me. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And I'm weeping. I said, Lord, I'll preach the word for you. I can do that. As long as the Holy Spirit is with me. I can be instant in season and out of season. As long as the Holy Spirit is with me, Lord, I'll do that. I said, but reprove, rebuke, and exhort. God, I don't know if I can do that. How many know it's hard to tell people they're doing something wrong? How many ever? You know that? And if you don't do it with love, it's probably not going to help. Is that right?
Right.
And he says, reprove, exhort. And I said, Lord, I don't know how to do that. And he says, you do it the same way the other ones, he said. He goes, I'll be with you. It's by my spirit. I'll help you. I said, okay, Lord. So in one afternoon, God gave me not only a vision, but he also gave me a word of my calling. So right away, I go back to Pastor. Amen? I said, Pastor, God gave me a vision. He looks at me and goes, oh boy, another one? I go, yeah, another one. I said, man. And I told him about it. And like I said, I've said before, you know, he didn't quite get it. How many of you know what I mean? Do you know that when God shows you something, it's something you've never seen before? And when you, I mean, you get all fired up about it. Have you done this before? Go tell somebody about it, and they kind of go, good, good, good. Very nice. That's a nice thing. Yeah, good. I'm glad. Yeah. They tell you all this stuff because they don't get it. Well, the thing is that you didn't get it before you got it, so why do you think they're going to get it when you tell it to them? Is that right?
Amen.
You didn't get it until you got it. And that's what it was. I realized something. Oh. So a lot of times with what we do, we misplace our visions. I mean, anybody? I mean, I didn't mean lose it. I mean misplace it. Begin to use it in the wrong direction. Is that right? And so what I didn't realize, I said right away, I go, oh, this is my vision. This is who I am. Praise God. We changed the name of the youth group at First Assembly. We called it the Upper Pool. All of a sudden, now it's the Upper Pool. And so... What I didn't realize was that God had this for another time. Do you know what I'm saying? Sometimes God will give you something, and it's something that you pray about. Allow him to take you to the right time. Is that okay? Can I exhort you to do that? Can I say, hey, this is a good thing for you? Hallelujah. If Matthew chapter 11 verse 12, because when I was going after this thing, before when I was really putting it down with God, you're going to give me a vision or not. If you don't give me a vision, I'm going to stop. The Bible says this, it says, from the days of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. What I didn't realize is that I had stepped into that position of taking the things of God by force. Is that right? There's sometimes you just got to get in there and say, God, I got to know. Fasting will help you. Fasting, prayer, fasting, worshiping God, believing God, reading the word, all these things will help you so that the Lord can give you what you want. Can I tell you something? God wants to give it to you. Amen?
Amen.
But your heart has to be ready. Is that right? Can I say that to you? A lot of times we want, but our heart's not engaged. We want through our mind, but our heart's not engaged to accept what he has for us. God wants you to engage your heart, and then you watch what he does for you. You take it by force. You say, I'm going to go in. God, I need this. This is what I got to have. And God finally gave it to me, but I misappropriated it. I began to think, I said, well, it's the kids. And I didn't realize that God had it in store for me somewhere else. Not too long after that, I mean, it was a few years when Rosie and I, we served as youth pastors at the church for 15 years. And finally told Pastor, hey, you know, Pastor, God has told us that we're going to go somewhere else. And so we had a last service, if you will. Pastor graciously let me preach. And right when we left that building that night, the Lord had told me, he says, I want you to go with Pastor David Swift up in Tucson. And I said, oh, okay, cool. So I called him up. I said, Pastor David, God wants me to come and be with you, man, help you, whatever you need, brother, I'll come. And he said, great, man, you going to San Diego? I said, no, he didn't say San Diego. He says, yeah, well, Chantel and I, we're moving to San Diego. Chantel's there, and I'm on our way. I've got a U-Haul packed up stuff, and we're on our way going on. I said, well, God didn't say that. I said, well, good talking to you, Pastor. Hey, man. So I hung up. I said, well, I don't know. Lord, he's going to San Diego. You want me to go to San Diego? About a week later, Pastor David calls me. He goes, hey, Henry, he says, I need to talk to you, man. He goes, remember that day you called me on the road? I said, yeah. He goes, I was headed to San Diego? He goes, yeah, I stopped in Yuma to put gas. I had just finished putting the nozzle back on the pump, and the Lord said to me, I didn't call you to San Diego. I called you to Tucson. So he turned around, came back, called me, said, hey, man, you still, that offer still, I'd love to get for you to come down. I said, come on, man. So I began to help Pastor David. Hallelujah. I want to put something up can you put up frustration? Can I tell you, when you're going after something from God, how many of you ever been frustrated? Anybody ever gotten frustrated? Man, God, I don't know what you want from me. What do you want? Is that right? Anybody ever said that? God, what do you want? God, I don't want to get mad at you, God, but you're not saying nothing to me. Is that all right? And I said, God, what? I mean, can I tell you, it was crazy, because right before that God had showed me this vision, I had done this message, and this was the title: Frustration Can You Lead You to Revelation to Take You to a Destination? Can I tell you, if you allow what's happening within you, say you're frustrated that God hasn't spoken to you about something in a while or whatever, let that frustration go to God with that frustration. Just very quickly, do you remember when, what was his name, Gideon? He was threshing wheat behind the wine press, hiding, and he was throwing it up, man, trying to hide and everything. And God said to him, hey, almighty man of valor, you man of God, man. He goes, yeah, why? He goes, why you call me that? You know, he says, man, the Philistines have been ripping us off for a while now. And see, the man was frustrated, wasn't he? Gideon was frustrated. And the angel tells him, take that, go in that your strength, the strength of that frustration, go. See, that frustration took him to a place. And if you allow God to take you, if you allow him to show you why it is you're frustrated, a lot of times he'll give you a revelation. And that revelation is because he wants to take you to a destination. He wants to show you what he has for you. Can I tell you, everyone in the building tonight, this morning, has a destination. He's got something for you. He really does. But he says this, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Do you know that? Are you seeking him first? Are you calm about it? Are you frustrated? Let him know. And you watch what God does for you. Hallelujah. God is, he's doing a great work today. Amen? Hallelujah. So I want to just, Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, I want to read this. It says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. How many like being reproved? Anybody like being reproved? I like being reproved. Hardly ever. being reproved is not fun, but can I tell you, when God does it, there's something about it. There's a loving, leading, and guiding in it. And I love it, man. And so we're up in this church, and God had been talking to my wife and said, hey, Henry, I think God wants us to do something more. I think he wants us to pastor. I go, no, I don't think so. And she goes, no, I don't think so. Babe, be quiet. I don't think, I said, I've seen Pastor, I've watched him, and I watched what goes on with Pastor. I said, I don't think so. I was working at the mine at the time, and standing there, in service one Sunday morning, my wife and I were sitting. Pastor Dave was preaching. And all of a sudden, right in the middle of his sermon, he stops and he says, Henry and Rosie, I need you to stand up. And he says this to him. He goes, you are not a minor. You are a pastor, and God can't bless what you're pretending to be. See, God was reproving me. Do you hear what I'm saying? He was telling me. See, he was correcting me. What you have been resisting, I've got something for you. Well, that word hit me like an arrow, like a flaming arrow. I felt the warmth of it. I felt God speaking. And I said, oh, my God. Okay, God, we'll do it. We'll do whatever you want us to do. Came back, told the folks, and we came into this building. Well, we came back and the Lord told me to pray around this building, so we started praying around this building. And you guys have heard this story 100 times, but it's also very good for me to speak it to you because of the fact that God is the one that orchestrated this. Because like I said, what do we need another church for in Green Valley? So here it says, I will stand upon the tower and watch and set me up. I will set me upon the tower and watch to see what he will say to me and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. I was reproved. And I said, okay, God, I'll do what you want. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables. Do you hear what I'm saying? When I read this, I said, Lord, I got a vision. I need to write it down. I need to look at it. And so I did. I write the vision, make it plain upon the tables that he may run that reads it. So basically, the vision you're under in this house, the vision this house is under is the one of the upper pool. That's what it is. And it says, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables that he may run that reads it. For the vision is yet for what? An appointed time. But it at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, listen to this, though it tarry, what? Wait for it. A lot of times the vision that God gives you, it's gonna take some time. But there is a time appointed for everything. Is that right? Can I tell you, God's been talking to me about time. God has been showing me some things about time, and I'm really starting to get a hold of what he's... Can I tell you that God is not in time? Can I say that to you? How many of you know that? Where's God at? What's his realm looks like? It's called eternity. There's no clocks there. They don't go by noon or whatever. The sun, the brightness of who he is, it lights everything. They don't need to sleep. Come on, man. Hallelujah. They worship all day long. And see, the Bible says that, I mean, oh, God, he's really been talking to me about time. And the Word of God says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal. Can I tell you, you are in a timeless eternity right now. Do you know that? Ooh, come on, man. You got to listen to it. You got to think about it. Some of you got goosebumps when I said that. I'm going to tell you something. That's what God is saying. He's not in time, but he says, I want you with me. I want you with me. Remember what Enoch did? All of a sudden, he was not. Elijah. Oh, man. I better not break this open because I'll never get out today. Isn't that right? Come on, man. Hallelujah. He said, behold. He said, because it will surely come. I began to look at the vision that God had given me. I said, oh, my gosh. I said, Lord, this wasn't for the youth up there. This is for now. And then it says this, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by what? How are we supposed to live? Faith. By faith. By faith in what? You live by faith in what God has said to you. Is that right? You live by faith. That's why it's so important that you get in this book, stay in the book, all right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. So I didn't know. I had no idea what God was saying to me. I mean, I had a vision, and I'm saying, Lord, yeah, I'm so nervous. Can I tell you how scared I am to pastor a church? Is that okay, Pastor John? It scared the bejiggers out of me, whatever that word is. I said, man, God, I just got no idea how to do this thing. You are absolutely going to have to show me what to do, because I got no idea. So I'm walking around. The Lord had said to me, he said, a brother had told me, he says, hey, the bowling alley is empty. I said, cool, man. But we're only like 12 people, man. We don't need that big building. He goes, well, pray about it, man. So the next week I'm at work. I'm not praying about it. I kind of forgot about it. And the Lord told me he goes, when you get off of work today, Henry, I want you to go pray around that building. What building? That bowling alley. Okay, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. So I'm thinking, oh man, maybe God's going to give it the building. So I'm praying around this building. I come down and it actually felt good. I felt the presence of God all the way around, even going through the back where it was pretty bad, coming back around. I prayed around it 7 times, like Joshua. You guys remember that? You got to use the Bible for a reference, amen? So I'm going to walk around this thing 7 times. And finally, on one of the trips, I got a phone call, and it was the owner. And he goes, what are you doing walking around my building? I go, who's this? Because it was just a Phoenix number. I go, who's this? He goes, what are you doing walking around my building? And I said, well, who is this? He goes, you tell me what I ask and I'll tell you. I said, well, I'm a pastor. And he goes, okay. And I'm praying around your building. I feel like the Lord had spoken to me. I didn't know who this guy was and spoken to me. So I felt kind of weird. I said, well, he might think I'm really weird, but that's okay. But anyway, I said, I was told by the Lord to walk around this building and pray. And he goes, okay. He says, okay. I said, how'd you get my number? He says, Sarita Police. And he said, they've noticed that you've been down there almost every day during the week. I go, yeah, I have been praying around this thing. And he goes, and they happened to take a picture of their truck. And they sent me a question. They asked me, do you know anybody with this red truck? And he says, no. And they think, we think he might be casing the building to steal something. Walking around the building. Praise God. And, you know, so I said, no, bro, this is what God has asked me to do this. And so this is what I'm doing. He goes, hey, there's some churches that want to be in there. He goes, and I am thinking about leasing it out to some churches if you guys want to come be out here on this certain date. Well, here we are. Amen. Praise God. And one of the things that happened while I was praying, I was standing right out the front there as you drive in, come up the little hill there. I was standing right there waiting for a guy. He came in, he drove in, and he goes, hey, is this closed? I go, yeah, it's been down for about a month now, I think. He goes, okay. So he turns around and leaves. And while he's leaving, the Lord said to me, he says, prophesy to that building. I go, what? I don't know what to say. Prophesy, Lord. I don't know what to say. And the second night when I said, Lord, what do you want? And all of a sudden, out of my innermost being, which is, this is our power verse today, but out of my innermost being, I began to speak in tongues. And let me just show you this before you. Here's John chapter 7, verse 38. It says this, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall, everybody say flow. Come on, that's my word, man. Shall flow rivers of living water. I began to speak in tongues. And immediately after that came these words. It says, open up, O ye gates, open up, ye everlasting doors. This thing was boarded up. Open up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, mighty in battle. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then I said, out of thee, I'm prophesying to the building. I said, out of thee, O house of God, shall flow rivers of living water into the streets of the city. Shall flow the people of God into the streets of the city, bringing life to the city. Hallelujah. By this time, I'm all fired up. I'm running around here, man. I'm prophesying. Yeah, I'll prophesy to you. I'll prophesy to this building. Come on. Hallelujah. And God began to pour something through me that I just still didn't understand because I didn't get it. See, there was a flow. So far that everything that God has done for us in this house, it's been because of a flow. This prophecy came because of a flow. If you look at the vision, it started from a lake and from down this conduit into this man and out from the man into the fields where things began to grow. It was a flow. It is a flow. And when God says to me, he said, hey, he goes, Henry, my kingdom is not about force. It is flow. You see, when you're connected to God, the flow of God begins to run through you. And you begin to affect the lives of somebody else just by saying, hello, how are you? Shaking their hand, giving them a smile. Their heart is affected because of a flow. It's a flow. It's the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. His kingdom operates in this flow. Woo. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God gave me two specific instructions for this house. The only ones he's given me so far, except for Rebecca's going to be the youth song leader. Pastor John is going to be your prayer leader. Pastor Pat. Those are the things specifically God has spoken to me. And when God speaks, you know how many know you better listen? Is that right? Come on, man. But then he said, but before that, even when we were inside the door, he told me two things. He says, number one, do not corral my people. I said, yeah, I won't do that. How many of you ever been corralled in a church? Amen. Well, you can't leave because you are a member of this church. Well, guess what? You're a member of the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You are welcome in my Father's house anywhere you go. Isn't that right? Come on, man. Hallelujah. And he said, you will not corral my people. I said, God, I never had an intent to do that anyway. And one evening, I'm walking around because he had told me to walk around the city on the streets here. And I was walking. And one night, he said, one evening, he told me, he said, Henry, he says, you're the hub. The hub. Hubba bubba. Yeah, come on, man. I said, I'm the hub. We're the hub. Because my church is the hub. And I really didn't understand what he was saying. I did not understand. And I'm mechanically minded, so I think of a hub like on a car where the bearings are and everything. And it wasn't too long after that, he shows me this. It shows me a vision. It looks like a wagon wheel, but it's laying on its side. And there's a hub there, and there's five spokes. And I said, okay, we're the hub. I don't get it. I still don't get it. It wasn't I was heading to a compressor class in South Bend, Indiana, and for some reason my flight took me down into Atlanta and then back up into Chicago and then over to South Bend, and then Michigan City was just a drive from South Bend. And flying into Atlanta, I go, man, there's a reason why everything's happening. Can I tell you? Can I just say that to you? Know that God is, there's a reason for everything that happens to you. Is that okay for you to know? The Bible says that the scripture says this. It says that old things are passed away, all things become new. Is that right? And then it says, and all things are of God. Right after that, very next verse. Old things are passed away, all things become new. And all things are of God. So it's very good for us if we just take everything that way. Can I say that sometimes the everything that's going on around us, the monsoon season coming, how many of you say amen to that?
Amen.
I said, come on, man, come on, bring on the rains, God. This is my favorite time of being in Arizona, the monsoon seasons, and I'm getting ready to go to San Diego. What's up? What's up with that? I mean, you know, if I'm in San Diego and I hear it's raining in my house here, I get sad. I go, man, I'd rather be home, you know, because I love it when it rains here. You know, God wants us to interpret what's going around. There's a mighty shaking going in California right now. Is that right? Can I tell you, there's a time when God says, I'm going to shake every foundation. And those that are built on Christ, that's what's going to remain. Those that aren't, because there's people out there, they're scared. They want to leave their city. You know what? Hey, relax. You know the Lord? Yeah, relax. God's got you. Hallelujah. Come on, man. God wants us to interpret our surroundings. While I'm flying into Atlanta, and I'm, you know, I'm not thinking about anything. All of a sudden, I sense the presence of God in the plane. I said, what's going on, God? Are we going to crash? What's going on here, God? And right when that happened, the stewardess was on the intercom, and she says, we are now flying into the International Hub Airport of Atlanta. And when she said hub, all of a sudden I realized what God was saying, because when he had spoken to me, he said, I will send. And I thought he was stuttering. I mean, I just said, God, why did you say it that way? I will send. Because God was talking about a flow. He said, I'm going to send people to you, and then I'm going to send them on. It's a flow. Everything that he's been talking to us is about a flow. Everything. Hallelujah. That's why you guys, folks, we're going to hear about the flow again. Hallelujah. It's all about flow. He said, don't corral my people. So I know, God, if people want to leave, I just have to say, okay, I don't want you to leave. I love you, man. But you are in the kingdom. So God bless you wherever you decide that God has taken you to. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Number two, this is what he said. We're getting ready to finish. Are you guys okay?
Oh, yeah.
We're almost ready to quit. Okay? Is that okay? So I only got 22 more points. And they all got 5 scriptures each. Praise God, man. I don't want to keep you much longer, but the other thing God said to me when we came into this building, he said, do not pass an offering plate. Okay, what do you want me to do, Lord? He said, put the box in the back. He says, anybody that understands my economy, the economy of the kingdom of God, will understand. They'll find the box. I said, God, that's good. Hallelujah. Had a little boy come in one day, man. I don't know, some of you might remember. I mean, we had just released the kids to go to the class, and this little boy comes, pastor, runs all the way up to me. I go, yeah, what's going on? He goes, you forgot to take the offering. I said, no, just put it in that box back there. See that box back there? And that little boy ran over to that box and tossed it in there and looked around. He was proud to be given. God had said, he said, you know what, Henry? Do not take an offering. Do not pass the plate. How many times have we passed the plate in this? We have never. God has, can I tell you something? God gave us over $1 million and we bought this building. We never passed the plate. We got things going on back here. We're not passing the plate. We are not passing the plate. Because God, it was something that God specifically said to this pastor. Get another pastor. Get me out of here. Get another pastor, and maybe he'll pass a plate for you. But I'm going to tell you something. This house right now is under this vision. Do not pass a plate. Now, let me just show you, because there is something about not passing a plate that creates a flow. Do you understand? Listen to what I'm talking to you about. There is a flow in giving. Can I tell you that if you will out of your heart give, you're going to find a flow begins to happen, because you will give and God will put it back. You'll give again, he'll put it back. You'll give a little more, he'll put it back a lot more. I mean, that's just the way God is. I mean, I'm not just talking about finances. I'm talking about giving love, giving help, helping folks. You begin to do those things and you watch what God does. Hallelujah. Check it out. Just check it out. Check out these verses. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. And what I want to point out in these scriptures is the flow. He that believes on me. Oh, okay. Is that the one? Luke 6, 38, is that? Yeah, well, this is good. Well, let me read this one first. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. This is good. You guys did this perfect, man. The flow is right there. We're going to talk about flow. Now 6:38. Let's look at that. Give, right? And it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and what? Is that a flow? When God pours in, it runs over. Is that right? And that's what he said. I mean, it's a flow. He says, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men do what? Give into your bosom, for with the same measure you meet, with all it shall be measured to you again. See, a lot of it, what's coming into you is dependent on how you give. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, man. Hallelujah. Oh, you need this. Come on. Hallelujah. You know, God wants to prosper his people. Amen? Hallelujah. And he said, the way he's going to prosper them is by them out of a willing heart. And he says, man, and I'll give it to you, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing, running over. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at this one. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. Check this one out. It says, the liberal soul, that's the one that is generous, the liberal soul shall be made fat. How many want to get fat? Come on. No, thanks. No, thanks. It says, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that waters shall what? Come on. How many is this about flow or what? This thing is about flow. The kingdom of God is flow. Hallelujah. Malachi chapter 3:10. Check this one out. Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. And test me or prove me now, herewith saith the Lord, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and what? Is pouring flowing? Have you ever tried pouring out a donut? No, man. Pour is flow. It is flow. And I will pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to. How many are for that? Say, God, give me that, man. Hallelujah. Pour out blessing. Hallelujah. Not just on your finances, your health, all those things. Your mindset. Blessing. Glory to God. Okay, we're at the last scripture. I love this scripture, and I just listen to how it says. I'm going to read it to you in the King James, and then I've got another book up here. I'm going to read it to you in the Passion Translation, because the Passion Translation's got a little kick in it that I like to throw on. Okay, so in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 12, just check this out. Ooh. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 6 through 12. I do it every Sunday. Amen? How many of you guys say that? He always gets the wrong scripture up there. It's okay, man. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 12. Hallelujah. It's coming. Here it is. It says, but this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. How many say, you guys get that? The same way you give. I mean, how you give, how you do things, so you're going to reap it. And he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes where? In his heart. In your heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And that word, if you look it up in the Greek, it means hilarious. How many like being hilarious? How many like laughing hilarious? Isn't it good? Sometimes it's a release and be hilarious. God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. See that? He's going to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in some things, in all things, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every one good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply what? What's he going to do to your seed? He's going to multiply it and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes us through thanksgiving to God for the administration of this service not only supplies the lack of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings to God. Do you see that? You see what God's saying? I want you to hear this in the... I know we don't have this translation. It's going to cost us a little bit of money. We might get it later on. But here's what it says in the Passion Translation. Here's my point. Here's my point. A stingy sower, say stingy sower. Stingy sower will reap a meager harvest, but the one who sows from a generous spirit will reap an abundant harvest. Let giving flow. How many of you say, I think that's why I had to read this. Let giving flow from your heart, not from a sense of religious duty. Let it spring up freely from the joy of giving, all because God loves hilarious generosity. Yes, God is more than ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace so that you will have more than enough of everything, every moment and in every way. He will make you overflow with abundance in every good thing you do. Is that good? Come on. Just as the scriptures say about the one who trusts in him, because he has sown extravagantly and given to the poor, his kindness and generous deeds will never be forgotten. This generous God who supplies abundant seed for the farmer, which becomes bread for our meals, is even more extravagant towards you. First, he supplies every need plus more. Then he multiplies the seed as you sow it, so that the harvest of your generosity will grow. You will be abundantly enriched in every way as you give generously on every occasion. For when we take your gifts to those in need, it causes many to give thanks to God. Isn't that cool?
Amen.
Generosity, giving. It is a flow. And all my prayers, I said, Lord, I am expecting a flow of income to come into the church so that we can do what you've called us to do. He says, for every good work. And I believe this is really a good work. I really do. Hallelujah. So take these words and now look at who you are and say, can I tell you, you are in the kingdom of God and you are a position, you are a person of position in the flow of the kingdom. So let's do that. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Man, hallelujah. Had to talk to you about flow. Glory to God. There might be some of you here today that have just heard the gospel of the kingdom and in a way that you've never heard it. And know this, that God is not a respecter of persons, just as we read earlier, that he loves each and every one of you. He cares about you and he desires that you would be strong and in health, and that you would prosper in the things that you do for his kingdom's sake. Know that God is on your side. Everybody say this, God is not against me.
God is not against me.
He's for me. How many believe that?
Amen.
I mean, it's important that you say those things. It's important. Hey, say this too. Say, I will have a vision. Say that. God will give me a vision. God will show me what he has for me. Hallelujah. Things I've never imagined. Things I've never heard of.
Things I've never heard of.
He'll show me. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for your people this morning. God, I ask you, Lord, that you would, Father, show them what you have for them. Father, for those that don't know you, Father, that you would speak to their hearts even now, Lord, that they might receive you into their life. God, I thank you for it. God, I praise you for it, Lord. Thank you for touching your people this morning. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen.
If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.